Welcome to Thoughts to Ponder with Dowdy Small. The Word of God says that we are to exhort one another daily while it is called today. In a culture where everyone is doing what's right in their own eyes, Dowdy looks at God's Word, applies it, and gives us thoughts to ponder. Now with today's podcast, here's Dowdy.
Hello, my brothers and sisters and wonderful friends in the Lord out there. I'm so grateful to be back again with Thoughts to Ponder. And I have a very interesting discussion this morning with a friend that's come over to have a cup of tea with me. Her name is Jane Griffin, and she's an amazing woman. I've asked her to share her testimony and then some other things that she's doing now in her life after how the Lord has really brought her really quite a few years. So we'll see where the Holy Spirit takes us. But Jane, will you share your testimony, dear?
Yes, I will. So, oh my goodness. So thinking back, okay, I was 23 years old at the time. At the time I was working for a family. I was their governess, mother's helper. I answered an ad in the newspaper. I was looking for a good job, you know, at that. Well, I started there at 18. So I was there for a good like 4.5 years, 5 years. And I took care of a little baby there. He was 6 months. And it was a really wonderful family where I was working. I was there full time. And at the time I was going to college at the time, part time. I was attending Bucks County Community College at the time. So I went there, I got this little job of taking care of this beautiful little boy. And over the years, or just a couple years there, you know, I always had an interest in psychology. And as time went on, I just started to feel personally like more interest in that area. And I felt like in my life at the time, I was just feeling like something was missing. I just started to have this thinking that something's missing in my life. It wasn't like things were bad at the time for me. I was there with this family, and here they were into all these various like new age type groups, you know, not just new agey, but you know, it's an umbrella, right? Psychology.
Would that include parapsychology at all?
Definitely. Parapsychology. I actually got into that. Oh, yeah, at one time. They were interested in New Agey stuff. You know, at that time in my life, you know, I was young, 18, 19, you know, searching for those couple of years. But, yeah, at the 4.5 year mark that I was there, or about 5 years, I started to feel more of this interest in what they were doing. And so they were always, you know, the husband and wife, the mom and the dad would read various books together. She would read to him. He was a blind man. He's still alive. I actually talked to him 2 years ago. But she would read to him, her husband, and I would just be there taking care of their son. You know, I was with him for a good 4.5 years, taking care of him, raising him. You know, I would take him swim classes, take him to school, and I would drive their nice two-seater Mercedes, and you know, they were very well-off people. But anyway, as time was going on and towards that time when I got saved, I just got more and more interested in what they were doing, and I would just hear about these things. I got to know the family really well, you know, just they looked at me like an aunt, kind of like family, you know,
right.
I'm there taking
right.
care of their son, and they adopted a little girl as well. So they were into a group thing called EST.
Yes.
And it was Earhart Seminars Training. That's what it stood
Say
for.
That again.
It's called EST. That's the acronym that they would go by. And it stands for Earhart Seminar Training.
Oh, okay.
Nowadays, I think it's under Forum. Like, people can Google that. And Warner Earhart was the, you know, the person that started it and everything.
Where was it started?
You know, I believe it was started in the United States somewhere. But they were into like other groups called like just a lot of new agey stuff back then. Like there was a guy in Oregon, I remember, that had all the 45 of them Rolls Royces, and he was into like, you know, you can be your own God. And And that's what Est was really about, too.
Right. Yeah, be your own God.
Yeah, be your own God. And, you know, at that time in my life, I just was searching for significance. And, like, everybody goes through that, you know. And the Lord knew it. And I remember I went to one of the training or one of the events where they tell you more about this whole thing. I went with my brother. My brother was actually the handyman for the family where I was working. And again, he would do a lot of that work because the father was physically blind.
Yeah, it was really,
that's a whole nother story. But so my brother and I, you know, were getting involved and hearing about this whole thing with the family and different friends that would come to the house and they would have meetings. And so Rick and I, my brother would be there and just, it sounded interesting. It sounded like, wow, this looks great. Everybody looks so happy and smiley and this is it, and you know, you're going to feel great in your life and peaceful and powerful. And so we one night went down to Philadelphia and listened to a whole introduction about the whole Est thing, and we drove down to the city. It was at some big hotel, and this woman came out and was speaking about Est, and all these people were there, and they were like, and we signed up for this, and we were going to do 2 weeks of this kind of self-evaluating training, like with other people, like a two-weekend thing, you know, very structured. And we signed up for it. Riding back home from that night, you know, I thought I was kind of on like a cloud nine, but I think it was like deception.
Oh, yeah.
My brother actually started to feel uneasy about it. 2 days later, and I was like, what? No, this sounds good, Rick. This is a good thing. You know, this is going to help us in life. And just, and again, it wasn't that things were bad. It was just like this inner desire for more.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember my brother and I, like, he was feeling a little uneasy. And so I went home and I'm like, oh, looking forward to this kind of, you know, extra thing in my life to do. And I remember like 2 days later, I'm not kidding, I was down in the kitchen with my sweet mom. And I just started to have this, like an anxiety just came over me. Very heavy, worry, fearful. I became fearful, panicky, like panic-stricken. I felt very confused. And I said to my mom, I said, Mom, I don't know what it is, but something doesn't feel right about this whole S thing. And I remember being afraid too, like, I felt in between, like I was feeling pressure from the family that I worked for, and
they
cared about me, and they thought, oh, Jane, this is going to be great. And I knew them as like a family type.
Sure. Yeah.
So out of the blue, I had this thought. My mom had said, you know, why don't you go talk to somebody about it and see somebody older, wiser. And I remember a couple months prior to this, my mom and I went to an Easter Sunday service at this nearby Presbyterian church. And I remember feeling that day at church, like, this feels really peaceful. And I remember they sang the Lord's Prayer at the end of the Easter service. And I just felt like a good difference.
Yeah.
And so I said to my mom, you know what, maybe I'll call that minister there. So I called him that day, and I think it was either that day or the next day, I went to talk to this minister, walked in his office, I told him the scoop, told him what, you know, this family was into and what I was interested in, and how I felt. I felt really uneasy about it. So he started to ask me, you know, he just said, are you a Christian? And I said, well, I think so. I mean, I'm American, so I know, right?
Everybody in America is a Christian.
Yeah, and I always had a belief in God. I always believed he was the creator. You know, I met like one or two, quote, born-again believers in my past and thought how nice that was for them.
Right.
And this pastor proceeded and told me all about Jesus, all about how he's the Son of God, and how he said, you're going to realize that Jesus is everything you need in life, even in the midst of this searching. So he started to really talk to me more and more. And I ended up accepting Christ as my Savior. He prayed over me. I remember he even asked me about things in my life that might have happened when I was young growing up that were maybe a little traumatic, upsetting, you know. I talked about a couple things that came to my mind, like made fun of as a little girl, fourth grade, you know, criticized. I mean, who doesn't hurt some of that?
Absolutely, yeah.
And he just went over things in my life that I shared, and he prayed healing over my life from those trauma events, little whatever, 1 to 10, you know. Prayed over me, prayed that the Lord would fill me with the Holy Spirit. Jesus came into my heart. He even gave me a little book afterwards. It was called My Heart, Christ Home.
Oh, I remember that.
Which, yes, and I order them, yeah. And I have them in my office with
That's
my
beautiful.
Work. And I've always given them out to people because it made it very clear about what it's like to ask Jesus into your heart. And it talks all about letting him into every room of your heart.
Right, right.
You know, the closet, even the kitchen, the living room, and what each of those rooms represent.
Right.
You know?
Mm-hmm.
And it just, this little book he gave me, this little book, took it home. He told me to read the Gospel of John. And I remember going home and telling my mom, I said, Mom, I asked Jesus into my heart and I got saved. And I remember as time went on, she's like, really? You know, she was like celebrating. Oh, wow. My mom wasn't saved.
Ah.
But soon after that, she got saved.
Yeah, I was going to say.
And then my other sister got saved maybe 3 years later. But I started reading the Gospel of John like he advised. And I just remember the words just jumped out to my eyeballs. I just like jumped out in front of me. It just made so much sense, and I felt such clarity. But I do remember, Dottie, and I shared with you earlier, that after I came out of his office that day, I wanted to share this. I remember looking up at the tall trees at this beautiful old church, and it was a beautiful day like today, summer day, July. And I remember looking up, and there was such blue sky and the white puffy clouds, the green tall trees. And I thought that looks so clear. And I remember thinking, that's how I feel inside.
Ah,
and I remember touching my chest, and I felt
cleansed.
So clear.
Yeah.
Like
yeah.
I found the answer.
Yeah, that you were searching for.
And he said, you know, yeah, you'll always know that he's everything you need. And I've never turned away since.
No, you haven't.
So I started my walk. Yeah.
Yeah, you sure did. Did your brother come to faith?
My brother, he came to faith. He actually got saved when he was like five years old. So over time, but see, he kind of backed away.
Oh, yeah, that's pretty young.
There were a lot of things that went on in his life at that time. Mm-hmm. But when he was 39 years old, years later, he had went through a really hard time in his life. And mm-hmm. he started going to church. So mm-hmm. this stuff happens.
Yeah.
But he backed away. But I believe he's saved. He's just not...
Yeah, God.
Yeah.
Well, thank the Lord. The Lord looks on our heart. He really
Amen.
Does. He knows our hearts, and we just leave it there. What did you do with your when you were working?
Well, at did my workplace at the
no,
time.
No, yeah, or, when you back to that family.
Okay, I went back to the family. Again, they were very, very intelligent people too, and I felt like they just criticized me, and they did. My boss says, Jane, you have no intentions in life. I'll never forget the father said that to me. Like, what are you doing? You have no intentions in your life. And that stuck with me.
What did he
and
mean?
I've had to pray that away. I think he just thought that, you
no
know,
purpose
like he,
or anything?
Yeah, he would say no purpose, or he would always recommend me to like go into business. And I really, at that time in my life, I thought about becoming a nurse, but I knew in my heart that I always wanted to help people. So soon after that job, the mother, she thought it was neat. She thought it was a neat thing that I got saved. And
well,
she didn't put me down. She thought, wow, Jane, that's neat. Good for you. But I told them I'm not going to do EST. So they were they acted disappointed. And the father was more disappointed with me. Like, why are you turning away? Like, don't you know that you're
Well,
you know,
they were really feeding the flesh more, that pride of life that's in us, you know.
Yes, they were.
We're trying to establish an identity and find their identity in the world rather than in Christ.
Right. But soon after, I did leave that family, that job, and I felt like I needed to just go.
Mm-hmm.
I felt that. But here, a couple years later, the couple actually divorced, which is sad. But I remained friends with the mom, and she got saved.
Wow.
And she started going to a church service with me on Friday nights called Jesus Focus Ministries.
Oh my gosh,
so
I remember
she
would, that.
Yes, yeah. And she started to come.
Oh.
Yeah, and we remained friends,
oh,
her and
gee,
I. Yeah,
that's our
I know,
that
right?
That's sweet. That's
it's
so
a neat
sweet.
Story. So, yeah.
Oh, wow. Wow, that is really,
so,
really, really a great, great story.
Yeah.
So you really had to then just renounce all the stuff that you had one time thought was the way to go and just...
Right. Like during that time in my life, those couple years, and so many people are into this stuff, you know, because they're all searching for an answer. Like, what is the meaning of life? What's my purpose? Where am I going to go? Like, what's going to happen, right, when I die? And I was just talking to somebody about that today. And, you know, I would read horoscopes. I was into parapsychology. I would go to meetings for that back then.
What is that parapsychology?
It's almost like the psyche, like you hear. It's almost like the tarot card type stuff. Or it's like a game. You know, you work with cards or you have like meetings and seances. And they're claiming they're talking to witches. And
it's all that.
I remember... You know, going to a gypsy, my sisters and I, when we would go up to trips to Maine in the summers, there was this gypsy up there that we would go to and we would get our palms read. And I always thought, she's really telling me some things that seem really true. And, you know, and I just had to renounce all that, you know, Ouija board when I was little growing up. I remember, like, sometimes we would innocently play with our cousins and do seances and... you know, lift each other up.
Levitations.
All that stuff is so dangerous.
Yeah.
And that stuff is in the Bible, too, in the Old Testament,
it
right?
It does. It tells us I think it's Deuteronomy 18. It wants us to stay away from it.
So I had to renounce all that. And over the years, you know, I went, like, I saw some of that, like, maybe some long-term effects of that. You know, when you have to go through some prayer deliverance.
Oh,
and,
yeah. That's great.
And I went through that, like when I was around 28 years old, I got prayer more intensely just to wipe that out of me or any remnant or,
you do
you
need
know.
It. You really do need to cut off. You really, really do.
You got to cut it off.
Yeah, you have to, you know, you renounce it, but it's really going to cut. It's a work of the Holy Spirit, His grace. And you know, it's interesting because I don't think many of us realize the power of... the power of the Lord's hand in the waters of baptism. When you're water baptized, have you been water baptized?
I was. I got water baptized. I went to a Jesus 84 festival out in Mount Union, Pennsylvania. It was my first. And I would go to creation festivals after that.
Oh, yeah.
And you're out there in the mountains. And I got water baptized. I remember getting water baptized, and I was so afraid to go in the water. It was like this little lake, and I remember thinking, and I said it out loud, I said, what if a snake bites me? And somebody said, you know Jesus now, he's not going to let you get, you're going to get water baptized, he's not going to let that happen to you.
That's right.
And I got water baptized, and I remember I got baptized in the Holy Spirit. I started speaking in tongues.
Yeah,
I kind of let that go and came back to that a couple years later.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Yeah, that's great, Jane. Because, you know, I don't think all of us really, many of us maybe don't really realize until we start reading the scriptures what happens in the waters of baptism. I think it's in Colossians 2:11, where it says, in the unseen hands, our hearts are circumcised.
Yes.
What does that mean? It means cut away from the old life,
right,
the old nature.
Yes.
So all that stuff that the devil was trying to was trying to really draw you to be some little god or something,
or
little thing.
You can do it yourself.
All that
humanism
kind of horrible. Because it leads to death. It really does.
It does,
and it's not fulfilling. There's no peace.
Right.
So, but in that waters of baptism, I'm not saying you have to be water baptized to be saved, but
right.
I am saying when you understand what happens when you're water baptized,
yeah.
that cutting away is so mm-hmm. incredible.
I remember
this last mm-hmm. week, Jane, at a mm-hmm. Bible study we were, I'm a part of, sharing a teaching with Kathy. You know
mm-hmm.
Kathy Swinkella.
Mm-hmm. Love her.
I do too. I love Kathy. And it was my turn to teach, and I was doing some study on this particular part of Joshua, that the nation, before they went into Jericho, they were
mm-hmm.
going to take Jericho.
Mm-hmm.
The Lord said, I want you to teach. They had Passover. They had to
mm-hmm.
instigate the Passover. They all had to go as a Passover. And all the men had to be circumcised because
yeah.
they hadn't been circumcised since they had left Egypt.
Mm-hmm.
And in doing so, because they're mm-hmm. going into a brand new land, the promised land, you
right.
know, full of milk
yeah.
and honey.
Yeah, right.
That,
yeah.
That circumcision really meant that now you're going to be my people, brand new, you know, a whole group of people that
yeah.
identify with the God
mm-hmm.
of Israel. And then the shame, that's what really was important.
Yeah.
The shame of Egypt.
Mm-hmm.
The reproach of Egypt
yep.
was broken off.
Amen.
And that's what happens when we're water baptized.
Yes.
Our shame of our sin and iniquity
mm-hmm.
as a sinner, it is just mm-hmm. cut off.
Right.
And that real freshness of the life of Jesus Christ comes into
right.
us. Eternal life.
Yes.
And we have a life for everlasting.
Yes. Amen.
And it's a Jesus, his spirit.
And it really
awesome.
Symbolizes too his resurrection.
Yes.
Right? Like going
yes.
back. And I remember when I went into the water, I felt like my eyes were shut, but I just saw the water just
washing
me.
Washing, yeah.
And you know, right? Out with the old, in with the new. Right? I go back, you know, it's like death and
yeah.
raised to life.
Yeah,
right?
Exactly.
And that's, yeah.
exactly.
Yep.
And that's so true with each one of us that,
yeah.
you know, that water baptism is a real key thing.
It is.
If you really, really have a desire for it. I
yeah.
really encourage people to get
yeah.
water baptized.
Yes.
Read the scriptures on it.
Oh, yeah, definitely. It's important.
Yeah.
It
yeah,
is.
It
yeah.
really is. It's
yes.
Like, it does. God just really deals with that. He, what can I say? It's an
mm-hmm.
identification with the life, burial, and resurrection of
Amen.
Jesus Christ. And you're identifying because he not only died for you, but he died as if it was you.
I know.
You died in him.
Right.
I died in him.
Right. Amen.
That's amazing.
Right.
And he doesn't see us anymore like in the old man. Just doesn't.
I know.
I mean, he sees you as if you never sinned, Jane.
I
Isn't
know.
That awesome?
I know. It
oh
is.
Oh, my gosh.
And sometimes it's like, I know I was talking to someone today about that. Like, we try to comprehend it all, and he's not asking us to even, like, because sometimes people feel, well, I don't, that doesn't make sense, you know. But if you're just believe by faith,
oh,
right? Like, you don't mm-hmm. have to understand it all.
Oh, no, you can't.
But over time in your walk with God, you'll start to understand it more.
Right.
Just
right.
believe by faith, right?
Yep.
Mustard
mm-hmm.
seed of faith.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It really, really is, because
yeah.
someday I want to do a podcast on what the faith that we live
yeah,
by is
that would
really
be good.
You know? It's really the faith of the Lord Jesus Christ. Can
Amen.
You imagine that?
Amen. Yes.
It's his faith. It's not human faith.
No.
It's his faith in us.
In
grows.
That which is unseen, right?
Yeah.
And just his eyes and not our eyes. What we see
yeah.
in the natural, what we experience.
Yeah.
It's
yeah.
all about what he's doing behind
I know.
The scenes.
Yeah.
And we have to go by his promises
yeah.
and what he says about us.
Oh, yes.
Right?
Absolutely.
And the weapons that we have to
yeah.
utilize every day.
Yeah.
Every day, right?
Oh, we're growing. We're growing.
Yes.
We're
yep.
growing as a body. I'm so excited. I'm excited because I really do want to live to see the day
mm.
when the body is just stripped of all of its separational religiosity.
Yes.
You know?
Yeah.
And we just love one another.
I know.
So we can be in the grocery store and or anywhere and come together.
Oh, I know.
Oh, wow. You know Jesus, don't you?
I know,
I've had
right?
That happened to me. Yeah.
That's
I've
so
had that
neat.
Happen
well,
to
we
me.
Can sometimes tell.
Yeah, you
if
can.
Somebody, it's their eyes,
yes,
right?
It is the light
can
of
sense
the Holy
it.
Spirit.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, so
mm.
there really is coming more and more evident. It's,
mm-hmm.
it's an exciting time to be alive, I
Amen.
Think.
I agree with everything yeah. going on right now. I feel like the Lord, he's releasing more power for us as believers.
Oh,
you
yes.
know, and answering our prayers.
Yes, he is. He's
you
bringing
know?
More revelation of who we are in him.
Yes.
Because
mm-hmm.
we've got to be in a place where we're separate from the world, our flesh, and have the authority over the devil.
Amen.
I mean, it's so much there. I don't want to get into it today.
I know. That's another.
Another podcast.
I know.
There's
I
just
know.
So much that we can really get into. But before we go off, though, I just want to have you share a little bit of what you're doing now.
Okay, I know. Well, it's many, many years later. I'm 60 years old now, and that was when I was 23. So for years, even as a little girl, and this might help someone even out there that's just not sure about what to do in their life too, I always knew in my heart, even when I was 10 years old, I used to ride my bicycle up to the nearby nursing home, the one at the north side of my town and then the one the south side, Pickery Manor Nursing Home and Woodside. And I would go visit the older people, the elderly people. I was like just wanting to go in there and sit with them. And I would sit with these different people, ladies, of course, usually, and just wanted to encourage them. I would sit with them and give them their tissue or just, I didn't.
This is when you were 10.
I was 10 years old, 11, 12 years old. I would do this. It was just my thing. And my mom and dad back then, of course, it was safe.
Yeah, you're safe, right.
And I would just go see the people and even the nurses, they would let me in. And oh, there's that little Janie and she likes to come in and see the people. And I remember looking at like a social worker, okay, who does more like, helps them with the cares of their life and might do counseling and so forth. And then I would see the nurses and I would say, I don't want to be a nurse, but I want to be more like the social worker. Whatever, like they're talking with them, listening to them. It's funny though, because I did end up going into nursing school and the Lord showed me again, this is not for you. This is not what you want to do. This is not what I have for you. So I left nursing. That's years later. But anyway, I knew in my heart that I wanted to help people that way. I wanted to be an encourager. And so years later, I realized that, the Lord showed me back then. That's what, that was like my call.
Yeah.
So over the years, you know, I decided I was in nursing school, but it wasn't for me. And, you know, I struggled. And even the father of where I worked, he thought, be a nurse. Don't go into human services. You're not going to make money from that.
Oh, yeah.
You're not gonna,
everything's money, money.
Yeah. Money, money, money. Go into business and go or be a nurse if you want. But so I thought, no, I really want to be a counselor, you know. So I went towards that, you know, direction. And I looked into it. I started getting jobs, like working in different mental health programs. You know, I started out working like in a social rehab. I worked in a nursing home. I did do some nursing, but again, it was good experience to work with people, mm-hmm. at various ages, various problems. Mm-hmm. I worked with every age. I worked in a nursery school with children. You know, I worked in counseling. I worked as a primary therapist. I got my education, one job paid for my bachelor's degree, which was a blessing. So I just kept going that direction and got my master's in counseling. You know, just so I did other trainings along the way. And today, so I've worked in various mental health programs and stuff. But today I have my own office called Upper Room Counseling in Harleysville.
Wow.
So God brought me through. There were many times where, you know, I went off wrong directions in my life, you know, things that happened in life. And but I'm working with people still.
Isn't that wonderful?
Yeah, so it's Christ-centered, and that I've worked in secular places, but people would usually find out I was a Christian or believer in Christ, and I would even let the intake coordinator know that if anybody wants a therapist, counselor that, you know, has a God perspective, I'm here. And they were like, okay, Jane, that's good. So I would end up getting some of the believers at the secular places where I worked. So after COVID and everything during COVID, I ended up leaving my last mental health job as a clinical therapist. And I decided to get my own office. I mean, I started out on my own doing remote, but then I found an office for rent nearby, really good price. And so I've been there for a year and a half.
Jane, that's wonderful.
Yeah,
thank you, Jesus.
It's slow. Yeah. But it's building slowly,
sure.
And then there's another gal that does counseling there too. She's Christ-centered. And then my really good friend, Oren Harris, he works mainly with couples. He comes on Tuesdays.
Well, that's nice to work with couples.
Yep. complex couple situation.
Complex couples,
complex stuff. Yeah.
Oh, so, that's awesome.
Yeah, so we're there.
Well,
yeah,
really,
that's
really usual. Well, thank you, Jesus. That is so wonderful.
People with anxiety, depression, all kinds of things. It's everywhere. You know?
It is. It really is.
But He is the healer.
He is,
and He helps us with all that. Everything.
Yeah. Yeah. He really, really does. And there's some of them are really like a really, really deep. And I'm so grateful for ministries that God's called you to like that.
Yeah.
You know, Jane, I always ask my guests at the end, would you pray an ending for us?
Yes.
Would you do that?
I would.
Good.
For an ending
I'd love
for
to have
everybody.
You do that.
All right,
yeah.
That's neat. Good. All right. Lord God, I thank you for this day, Lord. I'm just so thankful, so grateful for being here with Dottie today. And Lord, I'm thankful for everyone right now who's listening. Lord, I pray that just something grabbed a hold of their heart, Lord. Father, whether it's just they're in a season of searching and wondering if God is really there, whether they're not saved, whether they're saved and they're just questioning, God, I thank you that you will instruct us and teach us in the way that we should go. Thank you, Lord, that your children, your sheep, hear your voice, and that you just by a whisper, you guide and direct their path. And then you put that desire in their heart. You will guide them and lead them, Lord, to your word, to your truth, Lord, and that you will lead them in the way they should go, whether it's their life, whether it's a decision, whether it's through a hard time, difficult season, wilderness time, Lord, I thank you that you open the way, that you will lead them in the way that they shall go, Lord. Okay. Father, thank you that, Lord, we can look to you for help. Lord, as David said, I look to the mountains. From where does my help come from? And then he said, my help comes from the Lord, the maker of heaven and earth. Lord, thank you that you are our helper with all things, for all things, with all things. Lord, we keep our eyes on you today. Bless everyone listening. In Jesus' mighty name, amen.
Yes, yes, yes. Thank you so much, Jane. Thanks for sitting in, and maybe we'll get together again. So
yeah,
that was really fun.
That would
I really
be
enjoyed
neat.
That.
Yeah.
So we're just going to, I'm going to just sign off now from Thoughts to Ponder because there's plenty in here for Thoughts to Ponder.
Yes.
Until again, bye-bye.